Good evening. Thankful to have another opportunity to speak tonight, and we certainly hope and look forward to Brother John getting back with us very soon, but in the meantime, we'll have our lesson for tonight. I thought it would be good to have a part three in a series on singing and excelling in our singing, and part three tonight will have to do with praising God for his goodness and holiness, and some of these points would tie in with the class that we had this morning. We just sang one of the first scriptures that we're going to refer to tonight in our introduction. But we also need to keep in mind what the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. Here he says, "Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." And we all need to be seeking and how we each can excel in building up the body of Christ and how we can do that. And so singing is certainly one of the many ways that we can do that. And it's also a very important part of our worship, both here in this life as well as in heaven, as we'll see. We just sang Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, but we need to remember what he says here, where he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So we do need to have in mind the purposes of our singing, how we need to be teaching and admonishing one another through the psalms, through the hymns and the spiritual songs that we sing. And as we sing, he says here, we need to be singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And we need to have in mind that this is one of the ways that the word of Christ will dwell in us richly, is through our singing. Now, to briefly review, in our first lesson we had on this, we saw a number of passages that had to do with the fact that there is singing both on earth and in heaven concerning the Lord's deliverance. We studied and saw how singing is a characteristic of the righteous. Proverbs 29 and verse 6, it says there, "In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice." And so we need to have this in mind, that if we're the way that the Lord wants us to be, that we will be singing on a regular basis and rejoicing in the things to rejoice over. And as we've recently studied, that includes even some of our trials that we'll go through, because we realize that we grow through those trials. We read in Revelation 15, where we saw, read about those who are singing about the victory in heaven. In verse 3 there, it says, "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." So we need to be considering that if, as we're all looking forward to being in heaven, what is one of the things that is going to be happening on a regular basis there? Well, it is singing. And this is speaking of some of those things that are being sung. And we might, and we studied and we asked the question, well, why are they singing the song of Moses in heaven? Well, we studied how that it applies in the sense that they sang that song of Moses when they were delivered from their enemies. And so there are many, many instances throughout this life and, Lord willing, in eternity, where we will be singing of the Lord's deliverance in many, many different ways. And we read in that song that they sang of Moses back in Exodus chapter 15. There it said, "They sang this. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. So we see, and of course we read more in that first lesson, but we see there that when they were delivered by the Lord, that they were singing of his strength, and they talk there about that the Lord is our strength and our song. And when the Lord gives us deliverance in different ways, we need to have in mind that that is something to sing about and to praise him for, because he is our strength and should be our song as well. In Psalm 104, it says there, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. So once again, we see a passage that really illustrates how it should be natural for us when different situations arise that we decide to sing and to praise and to give thanks to the Lord in our song. And there's many, many passages that we have seen, and Lord willing, we'll see where God's children do exactly that, that singing is something that is a natural thing that they do at different times for different reasons. In our second lesson, we specifically focused on some of those songs of deliverance. In Psalm 7, we saw that this was one of the psalms that David was inspired to write. And there in verse 1, he wrote this particular one during the time that he was being persecuted by Cush, the Benjamite. And so he said there, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. So there was a psalm that he sang when he was being persecuted, and he was asking for God's deliverance in that psalm. In Psalm 18, this was one that was that David sang when the specific day that he was delivered from the hand of his enemies and from Saul, it says. And so that was another psalm we see that was given for a very specific point of deliverance that the Lord gave to David. In Psalm 126, we have another song there when the children of Israel were able to return from Babylon. In verse 2, it says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. So that day that they returned was a very great day of rejoicing to them, and they sang, and they gave the Lord the credit for the great things that he had done for them. And we might keep in mind that, well, that was when they were being returned from the captivity that the Lord had carried them into. So they understood there that there was a reason and a purpose that the Lord had for that captivity, and now they were being thankful that the Lord was providing them a way to return from that captivity. In Psalm 59, we read there where it says, I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So again, we see another psalm here speaking of God's deliverance and how he is defending the righteous, the ones who are serving him, and how God is our strength. And here he notes that he will sing that unto God because of that strength and that deliverance. And so we want to look some more this evening at some of the different types of things that we need to have in mind in our singing. In particular, singing praises to God for his goodness and his holiness. In Psalm 147 and verse 1, we note this concerning our praising of the Lord. Here it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. And that comely is the word suitable. And certainly it is very suitable for all of us to be acknowledging God's hand and to be praising him for his goodness and his holiness. In Psalm 30 and verse 4, it says here, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. So we notice initially here who is being commanded to sing. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, those who were called out to serve the Lord. And of course, we recall as being the Lord's saints, we are called out to be holy as He is holy. And in doing that, we need to be remembering and considering the Lord's holiness. If we're going to be holy as He is holy, this needs to be something that is regularly on our minds. And not just in our minds, though. Here it says that we need to be singing to the Lord and giving thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. So when we're thinking about that holiness, that's something that should prompt us to be singing concerning that and as we remember His goodness. In Psalm 25 in verse 8, the nature of God here, He says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Of course, there are many, many passages, and we'll look at a few here, but there are, the scriptures are filled with the passages that make this point that God is good, that He is the source of all good. We remember what Jesus taught in Mark chapter 10. We'll read verses 17 and 18 of this one that comes up to Jesus. In verse 17, it says, when He was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to Him and asked Him, good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. So Jesus was pointing out here that we need to be giving all the glory to the Father for His goodness. He is the source of all that is good. He is the one who defines what is good. And we always need to remember that because there are so many in our times today who want to redefine that term and redefine what it means to be good. And we always need to remember, well, it's the Lord and who defines that. It's the truth that He's given us in the scriptures that define what is good. And we need to have that in mind. And we need to be praising Him and singing of His goodness. In Psalm 100, we'll read verses 1 through 5 here. Many of these words will be familiar. It says, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So we see here, starting in verse 1, where he says we need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Our singing needs to come before Him. We need to come before His presence with singing, as it says there in verse 2. And it recalls the fact that He is our Creator in verse 3. He's made us. He's given us everything that we have. And we need to acknowledge that and to be thankful that, number one, that He's done that. But then it goes beyond that to note in verse 5 that He is good. And then it speaks of His mercy and His truth that endures to all generations. And, of course, we recall what Jesus taught in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus told the ones there, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. And so we know and understand how the Father, in His goodness, has sent His Son to show us the way, to give us the truth that we can use to accomplish His purpose and to show us the way to the Father. In Psalm 106 and verse 1 here, it says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So once again, we see this praising and giving of the thanks to the Lord, and in particular, why? He says, for He is good. We need to be remembering His goodness and the good purpose that he has for us and how he is working this good purpose in us. In the next Psalm, 107 and verse 8, it says there, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And so we do need to be considering his wonderful works and how he is working all things together for good to them that love him and who are the called according to his purpose. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 1, here it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." So once again, we see here how this is a characteristic of the righteous, of those who are serving the Lord, how praise is comely. It is something that it goes along with what we should be doing. And so it continues in verse 2, "Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." So yes, praise is comely for the upright. We need to be rejoicing in the Lord. We need to be singing of his goodness. Our God is one who loves righteousness. He's one who loves judgment. And of course, that's something that we should be rejoicing in, the fact that he loves the things that are good and right. And in verse 4, it notes in particular there that the word of the Lord is right. And we read a minute ago in John chapter 14, where Jesus said he brought the truth. We know from John 17, verse 17, where it says, "That is how we become sanctified, made holy." There it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It is this truth that we have in the scriptures that will make us holy as our Lord is holy. And so we need to be thankful for these blessings that he's given us. He's given his Son to show us that way of holiness that leads to the Father. He's given us his word that gives us everything that we need to know about his Son, so that we can see that mind and heart that he had, and that we ourselves can be holy as he is holy. And so he has a very, very good plan for us, and we need to be praising him for that and singing of that goodness. There are new things for us to think about all the time. There in verse 3, we note, it says, "Sing unto him a new song." If we think about it, aren't there new things that come about all of the time that we should recognize that this is part of the Lord's goodness? And we need to be considering that this is part of the Lord's work. These are the things that the Lord is working as part of his goodness. Just as we saw a few minutes ago how the Israelites sang of that deliverance that the Lord gave them as they came out of Egypt. They sang of all of the things that the Lord did for them in parting the Red Sea and defeating their enemies and bringing them out. Well, there are things that the Lord does in all of our lives that we need to be recognizing and acknowledging his hand. And we need to be thanking him in song for his goodness in bringing about these things. There's always going to be something for us to be considering and to be singing of in praising him for that goodness. One of the main works that the Lord has done for all of us in that good plan that he has was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 42. And we'll go back and read about this prophecy and see how this ties in with our need to be singing. And this is one of those things that the Lord has brought about that he says to sing a new song about. Isaiah 42, beginning in verse 1, we'll see here that this is a prophecy of Christ coming and how he was going to come to show the way to the Gentiles, to us. In verse 1, beginning in verse 1, he says here, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, you that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrain myself, and I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands and will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. So this prophecy here of Christ, speaking of what he was going to accomplish through Christ. In verse 1, how he was going to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And again in verse 3, that he will bring forth judgment unto truth. In verse 6, it notes here how Christ was going to be a light to the Gentiles, and that he was going to open the blind eyes, to lead them in paths that they had not known. And so we see him noting there in verse 10 concerning this great work that the Lord is going to do in bringing Christ to show this way, to open the eyes of the blind. There in verse 10 he says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. And certainly this is the greatest work that he has done in sending his son to show us the way to him, to open our eyes. And so we need to have in mind here that this, amongst many, many things that we find in the scriptures, is one of those examples where the Lord says to sing unto the Lord a new song. We need to be singing of all of these wonderful works that the Lord has done and is doing and will do in each of our lives as we go through this life. We need to have in mind all of these things and to have this praise and this thanksgiving ready for him in our singing. And certainly as we are singing, Lord willing, every week, we need to be thinking about the songs that we choose to sing, that these songs are representing these kinds of things that we're reading about here in these passages. The songs that we sing, are they praising the Lord for these great works that he's doing and noting these things? Another area that we want to note that is closely connected here is a number of places in the scriptures that show how the people sang in the situations where they were rejoicing in the Lord's ways, being established, or in many cases being reestablished. We've seen how the Lord has a very good purpose and work that He is doing with all of us, and how we need to be praising Him for that and the work that He's accomplishing in us. But there are a number of times in the scriptures that we can read about where there were times where the Lord's way was not being followed, and the Lord's plan had not been followed for some time, and so we see times where that was corrected, and we see great rejoicing in those situations. One of those we can read about is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. The background here is the time where they brought the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, it had been in the hand of the Philistines for quite some time. And so this is the day that the Ark is being brought back into Jerusalem. And so in verse 7, here we note, it says, "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." And we'll read a few verses from this psalm that he delivered. And we might note here that we can find many or most of these verses in Psalms 96 and 105. We might note that it doesn't necessarily point out in those psalms that those are psalms of David. But here it points out that this was a psalm that David delivered on the day that the ark returned into Jerusalem. And so it begins in verse 8 by saying, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." So here was a very, very good day for God's people. The ark was returning to Jerusalem, where the Lord wanted that ark to be. And so here in the beginning of this psalm that David delivered, it starts by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord and make known his deeds among the people." So this was a very good work that the Lord had brought about in returning the ark to his people. And so, as we've already noted, when these kinds of things happen, it should be natural for us to be praising the Lord in song. And that's exactly what's happening here. And so we see there in verse 9 where it says, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." And so we all need to be considering how, again, this is going to be something that, Lord willing, we're all going to be doing when we're together in heaven, where we're singing like this. And we all need to be considering how this needs to be a more natural thing for us to do as well when we these types of things happen, and we consider the thanks and the praise that we need to be giving to God. Now, we can note a few more verses if we'll just skip down in verse 23. It says there, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation." So we remember these are all verses that are part of this psalm that they are singing as the ark has now returned in Jerusalem. Verse 24, it says, "Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations." Verse 25, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods." In verse 29, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In verse 34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together. And deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory to thy praise." So we see all throughout this psalm that they were singing on that particular day that the ark came back. These are many of the different parts of that song that they were singing. But note how it's all acknowledging the glory that is due to God for his great works. And we need to be considering that in our singing as well. Another example we could look at is in 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Here was a time when the house of the Lord had been reopened by Hezekiah, so that very sadly, the doors of the house of the Lord had been closed for a long time. And we see what Hezekiah now does, and we see what this leads to. In verse 1, it says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So we see here how Hezekiah's mind was one who wanted to serve the Lord and to do it according to the Lord's word. And so the very first thing he did when he had that authority as the king was that he opened the house of the Lord, the doors of the house of the Lord, and repaired them in verse 3. In verse 4 it says, "And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, you Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place." So we see Hezekiah opening up the house of the Lord again to the people. And as they have accomplished this, we see in verse 27, it says, Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. So we see here now, as they have reopened the doors and cleansed out the house of the Lord, when they begin these burnt offerings, it notes there that the song of the Lord began, and the singers were singing as these things were happening. In verse 29, it says, "When they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped." So we see here another very good day for the people of God, a day where the house of the Lord, after many years, was finally reopened so that they could now resume keeping the commandments of the Lord in the manner that he had prescribed long before. So it was a very good day for them, and we see what this brought about with the people here. We see how, as it notes there in verse 30, how that they all sang these praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. So again, this should be natural for us to do as well. When we have these times where the Lord's ways are being upheld and established, this is something that should bring about gladness to us as well, and thanksgiving, and we should be bringing that out in our singing. Nehemiah chapter 12 is another example where they had singing because of the good things that were happening for the Lord and the Lord's people. This is the context in this particular example is when they were had rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem, and the Lord's people were now coming back to Jerusalem to be there as his people to serve him. And so in verse 27 it says here, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing and with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, and also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth. For the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem." So we see these many, many different ones who were singers that came out of these villages that were around Jerusalem for this dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. We see that, again, this was a time of gladness and rejoicing and thanksgiving amongst these people because of this great work and this thing that now was coming, bringing the Lord's people back together again, and how singing was an integral part of that, in that giving of thanks for that great blessing. We'll look at one more example, 2 Chronicles 23. 2 Chronicles 23. This is another time where they had been under evil rule for quite some time. They had been under the rule of Athaliah after Ahaziah the king had been killed. Athaliah, his mother, comes in and she destroys the royal seat, and she herself reigns for a period of about 6 years, not knowing that they had hidden Joash, the son of Ahaziah. But after about 6 years, we see Jehoiada now bringing out Joash and establishing him to be the rightful king. And so we'll note some of the things that happened here and how singing was also a part of this as well. In 2 Chronicles 23, in verse 16, it says here, Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Mattan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And so we see here now in this time that Jehoiada is reestablishing the rightful king of Judah. And we see along with that, they are destroying the house of Baal. They're tearing this wickedness down and reestablishing the Lord and this covenant with the Lord. And these people would be the Lord's people. And so this was a time of rejoicing for the people to see that this good was being done and this evil was being put away. We see there in verse 21 where it says, "And all of the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with a sword." So they got rid of this very wicked ruler over them, Athaliah, and they reestablished the way that the Lord had ordained for them to live and to serve him. And so this was, again, a time of rejoicing for them that they were now under, no longer under this evil rule, and that they were now going to be the Lord's people to serve him. And so we see a part of that in reestablishing these ways in the house of the Lord. As it noted there in verse 18, that they did so with rejoicing and with singing as it was ordained by David. And so that rejoicing and singing was part of that restoration of these good ways of the Lord. So all of these are examples that should encourage us to think about the blessings that the Lord brings about for all of us, and to consider the thankfulness that we need to have for him for those things, and to acknowledge his hand in all of these things. We read in Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 25 here. It says here, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him." We do need to consider that the Lord is very merciful, that he is very good, and he's bringing about a very good plan for each of us, and that his mercies and his compassions that he show us, as it says there in verse 23, that they are new every morning. And so we've seen a number of passages where it said, sing a new song. Well, what we might say, well, what new song should we sing? Well, we should consider what the passage here is teaching us, that the Lord's mercies and compassions are new every morning. We should consider the work that he is continually doing with each of us, and consider that we need to be singing and praising and glorifying Him for all of these things that He is doing for us. Philippians 1 and verse 6, let's not forget here, he says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. God is very good, and He is accomplishing a very good work in each of us, and He is working to perform that, as it says here, until the day of Christ. And so every day we have opportunity to consider how the Lord is working with us, and to consider how we need to be praising Him in song. We'll close with Psalm 98. Psalm 98, we'll read verses 1 through 4 here. Again, it's one of these ones that encourages us to sing a new song to the Lord. Here it says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm has gotten Him the victory. The Lord has made known His salvation. His righteousness has He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So again, we need to be considering our singing and how we all can excel more in our singing to the edifying of the church. And the things that we've looked at here this evening should give us many, many things to consider in our singing. What are the things that we should be bringing up in our singing? The things that we should be regularly speaking of concerning the Lord and His marvelous works that He is accomplishing in this world and with each of us. And so I hope we all will be encouraged to grow stronger in our singing. If there's any here tonight that are subject to the invitation of the Lord to put on Christ in baptism, we'll offer this now as a time for you to consider that marvelous work that He is working with His children to form the heart of Christ in each of us and to have His divine nature in each of us. If you're subject to that invitation to put on Christ in baptism and to begin to follow Him, to that way that He leads to the Father, we want you to make that known as we all stand together and sing this evening.